Good morning, everyone. My name is Christine Lang, and I'm here on behalf of the Sustainable Vegetable Production Lab at Iowa State University. And I would like to just briefly introduce our lab and try to wake everyone up a little bit. We're a very dynamic lab. We do everything from row covers to vegetable grafting. We've recently gotten into chickens, so my lab mate Maria is back at the farm taking care of her chickens, which are integrated into her vegetable production system right now. To set up where our research is located, we work in Ames, Iowa, which is smack dab in the middle of the state. And I'd like to give a nod to our research station because without them, our work would not be possible. And I'm sure a lot of you feel the same about your research stations. We have 230 acres. We have a lake on site, which provides all of our irrigation water. And the only unfortunate thing about this aerial image is the high tunnels are actually not included. But if you were to follow that arrow, you would see the high tunnels that have cropped up at our research station. I'm not going to go much into the background of grafting simply because it was already expanded on so eloquently, but I would like to touch on the fact that in Iowa, we are becoming more interested in grafting. Our growers are somewhat curious. Of course, you're thinking about Iowa as corn and soybeans. We do admit that we are a small state for production of vegetables, but that is increasing. One of the reasons that's increasing is the NRCS EQIP grants are allowing us to have many more high tunnels for our growers, and it's an opportunity especially for next generation growers who maybe are not interested in taking over conventional agriculture to put up a high tunnel and dabble in vegetable production and then show it as a viable option for going to farmers markets and CSAs. The Des Moines Farmers Market, for example, they attract over 10,000 people every Saturday. So people are interested in vegetables in Iowa. When we started grafting in 2015 and 2016, we worked with the vegetable rootstock RST04106T. We found that it increased the number of marketable fruit when it was pooled across both 2015 and 2016, but we did not see a significant increase in yield when considered by weight. Now, this aligns with work that's been done at Kansas State, for example, showing they did a meta-analysis that showed that this rootstock really probably isn't a viable option for growers. But this work was enough through our field days and our extension workshops and outreach to get growers interested in grafting and trying to figure out what rootstocks might be the answer. One of the things I'd like to add about this study is we didn't have an incidence of soil-borne disease that was present in the soil. We did some tissue sampling of the plants looking for fusarium, working with our plant and insect diagnostic clinic, and there really wasn't any presence of disease. And part of this might be a consideration for Iowa. Again, is the soil system does not have, these growers are putting these high tunnels in and we have lovely mollisols, there's a lot of nutrient availability, and growers aren't yet dealing with some of the built up soil disease pressure that other areas of the country are facing. So the research objectives of this study were to assess marketable yield, fruit quality, and plant growth characteristics of 8 different hybrid tomato rootstocks compared to a self-grafted and non-grafted control. For our Scion, we selected BHN 589, which is a tomato cultivar that is commonly used by our growers in their Iowa high tunnels. The experimental design, we used a 30 by 96 single poly high tunnel with automated roll-up sides. And we used, this study was conducted in 2017 and is ongoing for 2018, and we're using the same high tunnel for both years. It's a randomized complete block design with 5 replications. There are 5 plants per plot. There are 4.5 feet between rows, and within row, the plants are spaced 18 inches. Here you can see the list of rootstocks that we used. One of the rootstocks we were especially interested in was DRO14TX, as we have not seen a lot of published literature on that particular rootstock. And I wanted to make a note on sowing dates because you alluded to it already. We my first attempt at a grafting study in 2016, I seeded the rootstocks that you see pictured here all on the same date. And then I went to graft them and discovered that my graft success was terrible, and that was a lesson learned for me on assessing the time for stem diameters. So we used a staggered seeding date for this study, and then were able to graft everything on the same date. We used the splice grafting method, and I included the success rates. I was the grafter in both years. We did still struggle, as you can see this year, with some graft incompatibility. Interestingly enough, self-grafted was a struggle this year. That was, I'm going to admit, grafter error, because I got back from conference travels and the science, or the stems had gotten a little too large, and so we had low graft success for that. I enjoy showing this to our growers so that they can realize that we are all human and there's room for improvement in your grafting methods. We field planted the third week of April in Iowa, which is pretty much equivalent to what a lot of growers are doing. We do not have supplemental heat in this high tunnel, so some of our growers are using supplemental heat and would be pushing for the first or second week of April, but due to the conditions that we have in our field, we started the third week of April. I will add that this year in 2018, there was snow on the ground on a Thursday. It melted. We were able to plant on a Friday, and we did put row cover over our plants to get them through the weekend. It was an interesting spring in Iowa. Data collection, we graded using the USDA standards for fresh market tomatoes, grading sizes 1 through 3 for marketable, and then we had non-marketable categories. We looked at fruit quality, including soluble solids and titratable acidity. And for plant growth, we were assessing plant height and stem diameter every 2 weeks. We looked at end-of-season biomass for both the scion and the rootstock. We analyzed SPAD once a month, and we also were looking at petiole sap concentrations at each growth stage, including first and second harvest. This is the grading method that we use. This was a grading table built for us by one of our research assistants at the horticulture station. So it allows us to gently dump our fresh market tomatoes through, and everything that's less than 2 3/4 falls straight through, so we're able to very easily handle our fruit. My students were doing this for me yesterday while I was gone. And you can see here on the right-hand side examples of our tomatoes. I'll note that for our fruit quality, we used a protocol of tagging all of our fruit at breaker stage, and then the following week we would return and harvest those same fruits. So that's why you see some of the fruits tagged with whiteout, because I found that to be an effective method. In terms of marketable yield, for 2017, we found Arnold, Beaufort, DRO141TX, Estimino, and Maxifort to rise to the top, and with DRO141TX having an average of 42 fruit per plant. And then we also saw Estimino coming to the top with a yield of 8.6 kilograms per plant. And that's pretty on par for considering Estimino and Beaufort. There's a lot of work that has come out about those rootstocks being high performing. You'll see that, as expected, RST fell to the bottom. Interestingly enough, when we considered the marketable fruit in comparison to total harvest, those numbers become non-significant. And again, this is for 1 year. When we assessed fruit quality, we found that non-grafted plants were actually right there at the top, and then RST04106T was also significantly higher. Looking at the other two numbered rootstocks, those were both test varieties from Seegers that were given to us to try for them. They no longer have that seed available to us. I'm guessing their results matched ours, and they decided to not continue on working with those seeds. And this is pretty in line with what others are finding in terms of soluble solids oftentimes decreasing as a result of grafting. Looking at the size of marketable fruit, this is something especially for small growers as they're thinking about going to market they would be very interested in. And you can see here that there's not a lot of clear-cut differences. Again, the test variety from Seeger's was one that did rise to the top slightly. And I'd like to make a note on the use of BHN 589 in a grafted system. I severely underestimated the plant height that we were going to get. We had some tomato plants that were determinant that were over 7 feet tall. So about halfway through the season, we had to do some emergency staking because the wooden stakes were not cutting it anymore. This year, we switched everything to metal stakes. And in working with a grower collaborator this year, that was a consideration for her system of making sure that she had T-posts that were tall enough to support her tomato biomass. Of course, this is something that can appeal to growers in the sense that you have more shading of your fruit and more protection to prevent sun scald, which can also become an issue in high tunnels. Interestingly, here we did see some across-the-board differences in terms of the biomass, most definitely. Arnold, Beaufort, DRO, Estimino, and Maxifort rose to the top. All others were significantly less. And you'll see that the lower gray bars, those are the rootstock biomass. And differences there were kind of more mixed together, but we've already had a wonderful talk on root morphology, and we understand that that's still being sorted out as well. So in considering the summary of this research, we feel for our growers that viable rootstock options do exist for use with BHN 589. There are definitely management considerations for our growers, especially in considering all of the excess biomass and how they're going to support that. We find that our growers are optimistic but somewhat cautious about the use of implementing grafting. Last year we had 200 growers at our extension field day. Our 2018 field day will be on Monday. And growers are interested, but they're still to the point that they want to buy their own plants, and we're working on doing more training so that growers feel empowered to conduct grafting on their own. We look forward to our 2018 results, and hopefully we'll have more to share with you in the future. And with that, I would like to acknowledge all of the students who work in our lab and our various support staff at Iowa State and all of our funding sources. Thank you. I'll take any questions at this time. Yes.
What was the irrigation and fertilizer regime, and how do you think that might influence the results?
Yeah. We used a standardized irrigation regime for the tunnel. We were at 600 gallons a week. We were doing split irrigation to avoid blossom end rot. So I was watering typically like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday regime to spread out that irrigation. For fertility, we were fertilizing. We did a soil test, and I know that we incorporated pre-plant nitrogen. I do not know that right off the top of my head, but would be happy to get that for you. Yes?
Are you aware if the increased biomass is consistent with what others have also seen and experienced? I guess I'll put myself out there. I haven't seen that as a constitutive response to the BHN.
Okay. The question is, do our results with increased biomass with BHN 589 align with what others have found? I am not sure of that specifically. I know that in some cases grafting has increased biomass, but I would have to do some digging to see if that is specific to BHN 589 or if anyone else has done that work. And I'd be happy to visit with you about that. Other questions?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Your bricks, I think the biggest difference is maybe 0.8 bricks.
Yeah.
Will someone be able to notice that difference?
So the question is about taste panels. We haven't done any work with taste panels yet, but that would be a great opportunity for us to collaborate with food sciences and see what if consumers are finding that difference or not.
Okay.